And if you don't have your Bible this morning, look in the pew. There's one in front of you. All of us should have our own Bible. Amen? And it's not meant to be the decorative piece on your mantle or the thing that holds papers on your desk or that thing you put on your dashboard in your car. All right, Hebrews chapter 6. As you know, I've been doing a series that I call Transformation. And we've done 2 weeks worth of study. We've seen a lot of things so far. This series is really important because we have to understand that the Bible is a transformative book. And Jesus said in John chapter 10 that He was come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. The Amplified Version of the New Testament says that we may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That is often not the experience that many of us face because we are faced with challenges. That is the nature of the human condition. If you live here on the planet, you're going to be challenged. But I have news for you. God's Word has been given to us so that we can experience that abundant life that Jesus came to give. And here's one thing you have to understand. The only place you'll find that life is in Christ. You won't find it in religion. You won't find it in ceremony. You won't find it in self-help programs. Try as you may, you'll never get there. But if you'll receive Jesus into your life and allow Him to express Himself through you, and if you'll follow after Him, you can experience that life that's full and overflowing. Now, we saw in the first two lessons that everyday people just like us who face challenges in life were able to experience transformation just by doing some simple things. And we're going to explore that a little deeper today. Hebrews chapter 6 gives us a key or a tool that we can use in experiencing transformation, and it is so simple that most people miss it. Now, in this discourse about the Christian life, the writer of Hebrews says something to us, beginning with verse 10. He said this, "For God is not forgetful or unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward His name, in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end." Then he says something. This is the key. "That you be not slothful, but followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Now, here is a key to experiencing transformation, and we've shared a couple of them so far. We looked at a couple examples in the Old Testament, 1 Kings and 2 Kings, and we've established two principles already. Number one, if you want to experience transformation, know that God will use you in what you have. God is not going to transform your life based on something you do not have. He will always use you in something that you have, number one. Number two, if you want to experience transformation in your life, hear the Word of God and do it. Know that God will use you in what you have, number one. Number two, hear the Word and do it. And we saw two examples of that last week. We saw some examples the week before. But here in Hebrews, he says, "Be ye not slothful." What's another word for slothful? How about lazy? Now, the word in the Greek is nothros. And it's a very unique word, but it literally means to be slothful, to be lazy. And this is the part of the definition for that word where it's easy to get into trouble. But the word nothros also means to be figuratively stupid. And so he's drawing a contrast. He says, don't be nothros, slothful, lazy, figuratively stupid, but rather be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The promises of God are given to transform your life. But if you'll be a follower of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises, you will experience that life that's abundant. Now, watch this. The word followers is a Greek word memetes. It's spelled memetes, M-E-M-I-T-E-S. Memetes. It literally means this. To copy the actions, mannerisms, patterns of speech, or to mimic. The word memetes means to copy the actions, mannerisms, listen to this, patterns of speech, or to mimic. In other words, be an imitator of those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. Now, do you remember two women that we talked about last week? We talked about a widow woman who God commanded to sustain Elijah. Remember that? She was from a town called Zarephath. And Elijah showed up, and she's about to cook one last meal, eat it with her son, and die. Do you remember the story? And Elijah shows up and says, give me something to drink. And she said, well, I was about to go make this meal so me and my son could eat our last meal and die. Now remember, God had commanded her to sustain Elijah. God had spoken to her. And Elijah said, that's fine, go ahead and make that meal, but bake me a little cake first. Now, if CNN had been on the scene, they would have lambasted Elijah for taking this poor widow woman's last meal. But Elijah had a word from God, and so did the widow woman. She did as Elijah said, and the barrel of meal never ran out. Years later, her son died, and she took him up to Elijah's apartment and laid him on his bed. And Elijah raised that young boy from the dead. Now, fast forward decades later, a Shunammite woman who had built an apartment in her home for the prophet Elisha. And Elisha had said to her, what can I do for you? She said, I don't need anything. I love living here. You don't have to do a thing for me. And his minister of helps, Gehazi, said, you know, she's childless and her husband is old. And Elisha said, call her to the door. And he did. As she stood in the doorway, he said, about the same time next year, you'll embrace a son. And she said, in a modern vernacular, my paraphrase, hey, look, don't mess with me. Well, a year later, that child was born. Years later, that child had a heat stroke and died. What did she do? She mimicked or imitated another woman that she was well familiar with through Elisha's preaching, the widow from Zarephath. And she did the same thing. She took that boy's body, laid it on Elisha's bed, and went to his home to go get it. And on the way, people were asking her, is everything okay? She said, all is well. As she approached Elisha's home, she was asked, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? She said, all is well. All was not well. But that was her faith speaking. Her boy was raised from the dead. Why? She imitated what somebody else had done. She did the same thing that the widow from Zarephath did, and she got the same result. What the writer of Hebrews is telling us is if we want to inherit the promises, we need to do the same thing as the people we find in the Scripture. copy the actions, mannerisms, patterns of speech, and imitate them. Now, here's the great thing. The Bible is full of examples of people to imitate. The problem is, all too often, we're not following the roadmap. God left us a map and said, if you'll do what they did, you'll get what they got. Amen. But oftentimes we are stubborn, we're lazy, and sometimes just plain stupid. Mothers, have you ever been in the car? Look straight ahead. Don't look to the right or left. Have you ever been in the car with your husband and got lost? And he's driving, trying to find his place. And you said, why don't you pull over and ask somebody? Oh, no, I think I got it. I've done it. Are you with me? And I've wasted an hour. I did it in Tampa, Florida one time. Got lost in a bad neighborhood. I mean, there are some neighborhoods in Tampa that make the worst neighborhoods in Erie look like the kindergarten. Bad neighborhood. And I'm driving around. Somebody said, why don't you stop and ask somebody? I said, well, I got it. And so I thought, yeah, if I make a left here and go down this road and then turn right, I think I'll be right back. It's dark. How do I know? Took about 4 or 5 miles. Ended right back in the same spot. So I figured, well, I better go ask somebody. Listen, you don't have to ask anybody. It's right here in the book. Right here. Right here. Here is the roadmap for living. Amen. Amen? And if we want to experience transformation, all we have to do is do what they did. All we have to do is say what they said. All we have to do is act the way they acted. And we'll receive the same thing. Are you with me? Amen. Now, mimic, imitate. Here's something that you have to realize. There's so many people who are of the opinion that if God is going to bring transformation, if He's going to work a miracle in my life, then He's just going to do it. There's nothing I have to do. If it's the will of God, it'll just happen. If it's the will of God, it'll just happen. I don't have to do anything. Listen, even when working of miracles, you're going to learn something here, is manifested in the Scripture, somebody still had to do something. Amen. Jesus' first miracle was at a wedding. That was not an accident. Mary said to the servants, whatever He says to you, do it. Jesus had said to her, look, the Lord hadn't said anything to me. Well, Mary made that statement to the servants at the wedding. Now, can anybody tell me what Jesus did at that wedding? He turned water to wine. Am I right? That was His first miracle. But even though water was turned to wine, somebody had to do something. He told the servants, fill the water pots with water. When Peter walked on water, y'all remember that? He still had to do something. He had to get out of the boat. When Moses led the children of Israel across the Red Sea on dry land, he had to do something. Amen. He had to stretch that rod out over the water. Amen. When Jesus encountered 10 men who had leprosy in Samaria, and they cried out, have mercy on us. God worked a miracle and healed them all. But you know what? They had to do something. He said, go get your physical. And the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. Now, they could have stood there on the corner and said, well, heal us first. Then we'll go get the physical. And they'd have missed it. You with me? Are you seeing something here? Jesus healed a blind man in John chapter 9. And the man was born blind. The disciples said, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither one, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. For the night's coming, and no man can work. And then he spit on the ground, made mud, put it on the man's eyes. The man had to do something. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. And see, many of us need transformation in our lives. And it's right at our fingertips. But we got to do something. We got to do something. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, do it. You with me? Or you can sit on the side of the road with mud on your face. I don't know about you, but if Jesus told me, go wash in the pool, I'm heading for the pool. Amen? Can you see that? Somebody still had to do something. The widow had to bake the cake. When Elijah prayed and it didn't rain in Israel for 3.5 years, that was a miraculous thing. But Elijah had to do something. He had to go to the king's palace and stand in the court and make the announcement. And he did. Went into the palace of Ahab and said, it ain't going to rain till I say so. He had to do something. Can you see that? Yeah. So transformation is available to all of us. All we have to do is imitate the people that we find in this book. This is the roadmap. Don't be stupid. Follow the map. You with me? God knows how to get you there. Follow the map. Some people are just too proud. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I mean, just about every place I go now, if I haven't been there before, and if I have been there before, I use GPS. Man, OnStar probably knows my name. I just push the button. Here's where I need to go. Or I'll use Nav. Here's where I need to go. Why? I realize now that at 58 years old, I don't know everything. And I don't have time to waste getting lost. And so if I want to get there, I'm going to get all the guidance I can, and I'm getting there. I don't have time to be running around the neighborhood 3 o'clock in the morning looking for the same place. You with me? And some of y'all would quit running in circles in your life if you would just follow the roadmap. Amen? Okay, let's look at one more example. So we've seen two principles or two tools so far to experience transformation. Number one, understand that God will use you and what you have. He's not going to require something of you that you don't have. Number two, hear the word of God and do it. Hear the word and do it. Now, turn with me to Mark chapter 5. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this. I shared some of this yesterday with the guys who were at the men's breakfast. Just in part, touched on it a little bit. But I have begun to see some things in the last couple years from the scripture that I've never seen before. And it was there the whole time. But I just didn't understand it. Now I'm getting a little more insight into it. But notice this account in Mark chapter 5. We all know this story. Mark chapter 5, we'll start with verse 21. It says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship into the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was near the sea. And behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, that is Jairus, saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray you, come lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she'll live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him. And notice this word, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, I want you to picture this scene. Jesus gets out of a boat. There is a large crowd of people waiting for him. One of those people in the crowd is the local ruler of the synagogue named Jairus. His daughter is ill. She is on her deathbed. And so he falls prostrate on the ground and just says to Jesus, "Please come to my home. Lay your hands on my daughter that she may be healed and she'll live." Now, here's the thing that you have to understand. Jairus did this at great risk. Here he is prostrate on the ground. And an edict had already gone forth from the religious leadership among the Jews that if anybody should acknowledge that this man, Jesus, is the son of David or the Messiah, he'll be excommunicated, put out. And this man lays down in front of Jesus, in front of all these people. Everybody in that crowd knew who he was. But the life of his daughter was more important than his job or his position or his pride. You with me? "Come lay your hands on my daughter that she'll be healed and she'll live." Jesus is following him to his home. The scripture says the people thronged him. The word "throng" there is the word "somphlebo," and it literally means to be pressed on every side. To be pressed to the degree that if you were walking along and you stopped, the crowd would still carry you forward. And there was a woman with an issue of blood. Now, we don't know exactly what her problem was, but it was a bleeding problem. And she had suffered with this thing for 12 years, had spent, the Bible says, all that she had, and didn't get better, but got worse. She's a prime candidate for transformation. She's not experiencing life to the full till it overflows. But she heard that Jesus was in the area. And so she came out and made her way through that throng of people and touched the hem of his garment. Now, Jesus was probably wearing a prayer shawl, a tallit. And the prayer shawl is very ornate. I have one at the house. I should have brought it this morning. And on the end of that prayer shawl, there are tassels called the tzitzit. And those tassels represent all of the commandments of God. And to this day, Orthodox Jews will wear the tallit and will one by one go over those tassels on the bottom and remind themselves of all of God's promises. Well, nobody could keep all of the commandments and promises of God, but Jesus did. But this woman had heard of Jesus, and faith rose up in her heart. And she started saying, the scripture says, and she said, it literally means, and she was saying, "If I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed." Now, what was she believing? What was she standing in? Maybe she heard somebody's testimony. I tend to believe that she knew what the scripture said in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, where it says, "To them that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." With that prayer shawl, when you lift your arms up, looks like wings. And I truly believe that's what she was believing. He's the Son of Righteousness, and there's healing in his wings in that prayer shawl. And if I just touch it, I'll be made well. She kept saying that. Now, she went out into that crowd and touched the hem of his garment. Here's the thing you have to understand. Under the Levitical law, she was not permitted to be in public with her medical condition. The Levitical law says specifically, anybody with an issue of blood is unclean and they are not to be out in public in contact with other people. If she was found, or if they were found to be in contact with other people, the Levitical law says that the ruler of the synagogue will take them out of town and stone them to death. Guess who Jesus was following to his house? Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. This woman needed transformation. Jesus was the agent to bring change. But in order for her to experience transformation, she had to do something. She couldn't sit at home and say, "Fix it, Jesus." That's what some of y'all do. "Fix it, Jesus." And he looking right back at you, say, I'm ready to, if you'll just get off your duff and do this. Fix it, Jesus. And he's probably sitting there thinking, I already did. If you'll just get up and do this, you can experience transformation. She did something. She got up, went into that crowd, muscled and bogarted her way through, and reached out and grabbed that prayer shawl. And when she did, virtue, the word virtue is the Greek word dunamis. It's translated miracle working power all throughout the New Testament. The power of God flew out of that prayer shawl, went into her, healed her instantly, and she felt it immediately. Jesus knew that the power of God went out of it. And he stopped and he said, who touched my clothes? Now, remember, they're thronging him. The disciple said, you see the crowd thronging you. What do you mean, who touched me? What was he saying? Everybody's touching you, Jesus. People were touching him from every side, but one woman touched him with faith. And that faith pulled the power of God out of his clothes into her and healed her. The rest of this account says, the woman, fearing and trembling, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. And Jesus, I know, smiled and said, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith made you whole. She experienced transformation because she acted on what she believed and she said it. Now, are y'all still awake this morning? You got to get this. You're in Mark chapter 5. Turn over to Mark chapter 11. Now, I'm telling you, you got to stay awake. The devil would love for you to sleep on this one. I said the devil would love for you to sleep on this one. Mark chapter 11. Remember what the writer of Hebrews says. Be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Patience brings into play an element called time. And that's where many people lose it because they're not patient. Time goes by and they lose their focus. Time goes by, they stop saying the same thing. Time goes by, they stop doing what they know to do. The Bible doesn't say be imitators for a little bit. Or there's an expression, for a minute. No, you need to imitate as a lifestyle. Now, let me show you something about words. The woman was saying, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Watch this. Mark chapter 11. We'll start with verse 12. Excuse me. Everybody got it?
Yep.
Watch this. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he, Jesus, was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, we know the rest of the story. He went into Bethany, he cast out the people who were ripping people off in the temple. Then he came back out the next day. And on the way by, one of the disciples notice the fig tree that Jesus had spoken to the day before was dead. And he said, Master, behold, the fig tree that you cursed is withered away. And Jesus used that as an opportunity to teach him and us how faith works. And so Jesus said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whoever says unto this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Then he said in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. This is a very important key to experiencing transformation. But let's rewind a little bit. I want to show you something. The Bible says Jesus answered and said to the fig tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. I was reading this verse last year, and that word answered jumped out at me. Answered. I thought maybe it was just added by the translation and it really wasn't there. But it is. It's the Greek word apokrinomai. And that word means to respond, listen now, to something that was said or done. It is an action that is always preceded by something said or done. Now, Jesus answered a fig tree. Are y'all still awake? Where I come from, fig trees don't have lips. Where I come from, fig trees don't have tongues. Where I come from, fig trees don't talk. Now, let's go on the other end of the spectrum. Don't lose your train of thought. Fig trees don't talk. But yet, Jesus spoke to this tree. No man will ever eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And that tree had no ears. Yet it heard his words and died. Jesus responded to something that happened when he went to that tree. But fig trees don't talk, do they? Listen, my friend, the circumstances of life are talking to you every day. Situations that don't have a tongue, that have no lips, speak to you every day. How do you respond? What do you answer? I am convinced that Jesus went to this tree, and Jesus is not some brute bully out to destroy the planet and kill trees. No, he just thought maybe he'd find some figs, and so he comes over there and looks for figs, and I bet you he heard something like this. No figs for you today. Son of God. Not today. Y'all remember Seinfeld? Y'all remember the soup Nazi? No soup for you. Something happened when Jesus went to that tree. And he heard something. Something spoke to him and said, oh yeah, miracle worker, no figs over here. And Jesus responded and said, nobody will ever eat fruit from you. That tree with no ears, no lips, and no tongue heard his words and died. The circumstances of life that you face every day are listening to you. Not only are they listening to you, they're talking to you. How do you respond? They will do what you say. But many times, you know, we got the roadmap right here. We're trying to figure it out ourselves. I often share this. Remember when Jesus was tempted of the devil? How did he overcome it? By the word of God. Every temptation, he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. Listen, if Jesus, the Son of God, the Redeemer, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, had to overcome the adversary by quoting the Word of God, what makes you think that you'll gain victory another way? You won't. You're going to have to do what He did, or you will lose. This fig tree had no lips, no tongue, and no ears, but it was speaking and hearing. And Jesus used that as an example for us to know how to use the tool of faith. Then he took his gaze off that fig tree and looked over here at a huge mountain. And he said, whoever shall say unto this mountain be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but will believe that what he says, not what he believes, not what he ought to have, not what the will of God is, but what he says will come to pass. He'll have not the will of God, not what he ought to have, not what's right and just, but he'll have what he says.
Amen.
What have you been saying? Amen. Y'all learn something here?
Yes. Hallelujah.
I realize that my words are important. That's why this woman touched Jesus, but her touch was different than everybody else's. Because her touch was followed with faith. And Jesus turned around and said to her, "Daughter," he didn't say, "my anointing made you well." He didn't say, "because I'm the son of God, you got healed." Notice that other people touched him and there's no record that they got anything. All they got was a touch. I've been in churches and that's how people prayed. "Oh Lord, just give me a touch." Well, if that's all you want, that's all you get. But if you want healed, you want more than a touch. Amen? Listen. The third tool. Number one, God will use you and what you have. Number two, hear the word of God and do it. Number three, release your faith with your words. Release your faith with your words. Now, remember what Jesus said in Mark 11:24. "Therefore I say unto you," in other words, because this is how faith works. Faith is released with words. Because this is how faith works, when you pray, believe that you receive them, whatever you desire, and you shall have them. So, that tells us two things. Number one, faith will work when you pray. Everybody say prayer. Faith will also work when you say. Everybody say confession. So there are two dynamics there. Faith will work when you pray it. Faith will work when you say it. Now, here's something that we've kind of got away from. Faith is released with words. I heard somebody say this years ago, if your faith's not talking, your faith's not working. Your faith needs a voice. If your faith's not talking, your faith's not working. You can believe the right thing and never experience transformation because you're saying the wrong thing. Are you with me? Now, I'm not given one to be a confession monitor, you know, but oftentimes you can readily find out what people are really believing just by listening to them. They'll tell you. You know? They'll tell you. We need to focus our words. Release our faith with our words. Amen?
Amen.
Faith will work when you pray it or when you say it. And I remember about a year ago when I saw this. How can you answer a tree? Trees don't talk. No, they don't. But they speak to us. Circumstances don't talk, but they speak to us. Well, consequently, they also hear. Amen. And they're listening for your answer. Now, let me drive this home. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Will you give me two more minutes? Two more minutes. Make it three. Romans chapter 8. I haven't been teaching that long today. It's Mother's Day. I'm going to let you go. It's been about 35 minutes. Romans chapter 8. Romans is right after the book of Acts. We all know these verses. Very familiar to us. Notice verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Well, the answer is no. But let's back up a little bit. Notice what it says in verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And them whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Notice verse 31. And what shall we say then to these things? What things? Notice he's not talking about saying anything to people. Are you paying attention? He said, what shall we say to these things? Not people. Things. What kind of things? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Things. Things speak to us every day. How do we respond? What do we answer? We need to answer with the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen? We need to release our faith with our words. And I've learned that when you know, there was a time when Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew records this, Jesus harshly had a conversation with Peter and harshly condemned something. You know, Jesus had told him, look, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be crucified, the third day I'll rise. And Peter says, not so, Lord, be that far from thee. And Jesus said to Peter, we talked about this yesterday, get thee behind me, Satan. You savor not the things that be of God, but the things that be of... Now that's kind of harsh. Why do you think Jesus jumped on what Peter said so harshly? Now, he was not criticizing Peter. He knew where that came from. He was speaking to the ultimate source. Why did Jesus jump on that statement so quick and so definitively? Because he'd heard those words before. He'd heard those words before. And he knew exactly where they came from. And the devil will use things and people to talk to you. How will you answer? Jesus, leading up to the crucifixion, you know Satan was working on him. You don't have to go through this. Be that far from thee. And then Peter opens his mouth and says the same thing, and Jesus jumped on it. You with me? Well, you need to have the same attitude. Not being harsh with people. But when things start speaking to you and telling you things that are contrary to what the Word of God says, you need to jump on it. And say, no, in Jesus' name, I'm the healed and not the sick. In Jesus' name, and you begin to declare what God's Word says. Principle number one, God will use you and what you have. Principle number two, hear the Word of God and do it. Principle number three, release your faith with your words. If your faith's not talking, your faith's not working. Amen? Did you learn anything today? Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah.